has been touched by depression. Mine has. My guess is a lot of your families have been too. Growing up, my dad had a real problem with depression. Real problem. And it just about took him down multiple times. And one thing I learned about depression is it doesn't just affect the one. It affected everybody under the roof. In fact, there was a period of time where I spent minutes at the most under their roof. I didn't want to be there. I didn't like the atmosphere. Depression can be deadly. Some of you know that. Certainly was on the edge of that for a lot of years for him. Maybe somebody you know, maybe a good friend, or maybe you have been touched by depression. And I mean touched in the worst way, because it is anguish, internal anguish to live with that. Well, we're going to talk today. That doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? But amazingly enough, the Heavenly Father does not say yes to your depression. But He says yes to everything that would heal it. Everything that would heal it. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Psalm 62 says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." That, of course, could be one of the moments in the Psalms that tell us how very confident the writer David is of his God. I love those kind of Psalms. How about you? In fact, if you know me well, you know I have spent an enormous amount of time in my life, in my adult life, in the Psalms. I found the highest highs in the Psalms, where God is the most majestic, the most beautiful, the all-powerful, always killing the enemies. I love those Psalms. But there are also another kind of Psalm. And I call those are the complaining, the lamenting, the whimpering Psalms, because that's what life is like, isn't it? The highest of highs and the lowest of lows, all within the same heart, sometimes even within the same day. But not all those Psalms sound like what we just read. Some of us from day to day, sometimes throughout the day, we're not all that confident in the Lord. And many of us are way too familiar with what sounds like this in Psalm 42. "Why are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed within?" That's the way the NIV version reads. Listen to the Message. I love this. "Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues?" Now, at first glance, you might think, well, is God saying that to David? No, David's saying that to himself. He's having a conversation with himself. That psalm sounds like that guy, God's nowhere to be found in his life. You know what happens when hope is absent? The Bible says the heart is sick. You ever felt that way? Where your heart just feels sick, decaying from the inside out, downcast, looking down emotionally and physically, disturbed and in the dumps. Well, I certainly have spent a little time there. I hate that place. That is not my favorite spot. And so sometimes I have to coach myself out. You know what that feels like? You ever coach yourself forward? Any athletes in the bunch? Yeah. You find out real quick, if your voice doesn't coach you forward, nobody else's voice can help you. Not one. Hope is often understood in terms of wishing or anticipating what has never been seen or experienced before. I can get that. I understand that. Sometimes that's the only understanding of hope that I have as well. But this morning, I want to ask you to do something with me. I want you to think in terms of hope like this. It is evidence of the faithfulness of God providing your first fill in the blank, help in every situation. Help in every challenge. Help every time you realize you needed peace. You need your spirit to be calmed and quieted. You have His help. This evidence is in the past, so we must look back and remember. If you're filling in the blanks, that's your second one. And even tell yourself. How many of you people would ever admit in public you talk to yourself? The rest of you are lying. I talk to myself a lot. A lot. You know why? What's that? I need expert advice. No, that's not it. I only wish that were true. But the truth is, you and I both listen to our own voices more than any other voice on the planet. Now, I know some of you are like, really, I listen to God, Clay. I can tell you a voice you listen to more than His, your own. Your own. And I do too. That is why what you tell yourself matters. It really matters. You can either tell yourself the truth, complete truth, based upon what God says to you, about you, and for you, or you can come up with something on your own. That doesn't work. I'm that guy. I listen to my voice, and in my logic and my reasoning, I will be really either real far arrogant, which I know you're looking and you're like, why in the world would you be arrogant? I don't know. But I'm either there or I am way down in the dumps. But when you decide you're going to coach yourself, your voice, with what He says to you and for you and about you, you will land completely out of full depression and start living in hope. This psalmist did this self-talk all the time. He talked to himself all the time. It's crazy. I'm not saying you don't need a wise counselor. You do. In fact, some of us need him like regularly. Every week, once a month, whatever you need, get that. But if you're going to go to a counselor, make sure that they draw only from wisdom that comes from God. Okay? Because you can come up with your own stuff to make you feel better, and it will last this long. But the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind. And it will last for a long period of time. I think counselors might really like me because they kind of look at me and go, he's like a test case. I read about that guy in one of my journals. But I'm not just talking about a one-time, one-off conversation. I'm talking about the in-between talk that you and I have. The talk you have with your soul. When you know that the Lord is present and able and willing and faithful and He's also listening. That's what I'm talking about, the in-between talk. You know, depression is when the soul is down. The soul is down. You know, I imagine you know what that feels like. Your eyes are down. Your expectation is down. Your hope is low. Your anticipation of anything good coming to pass is absent. Now, you may not have been diagnosed as clinically depressed, but probably most of us in the room know exactly what spiritual depression, how close that companion is. Not a friend. Didn't call him a friend, did I? But it is a companion. Seems to find his way into every conversation, every thought. You know, the psalmist speaks the language of the heart. He puts to pen the thoughts, the fears, the anguish of normal, usual days of life. But the strength that comes from the Psalms for me is that he never stays in the dumps for too long. Now, we don't know how long is long. We don't know. I don't know for you, you don't know for me. And every day is different. I will tell you the one thing that I have always noticed about the lamenting, the complaining, the whimpering Psalms, is that usually at the very end, he will make all these, God, where are you? Man, evidently you don't love me, you don't care. My enemies are going to kill me. You've read them. And he gets to the end and he goes, but I will trust in you. That's the difference between real life complaining with hope and without. He ends his complaining, but God, my eyes are set on you. And that will not just lift your head, it will lift your heart. You see, hope is closely tied to God's help. Think about that. If you know he can, he comes one step farther than that, closer to you. He brings his help. He brings the resources, his strength, his power, everything you need. He can help you because your hope is in him. Listen to this. Psalm 91 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We must tell ourselves, coach ourselves, as the psalmist does, to remember, to look back, and to actually turn our eyes back to the Lord. I want you to listen to this. My soul is, full honesty, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you, Lord. I am, but you are. I am, but you are. Therefore, I will remember you, Lord. The message says it this way. When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you, Lord. How many musicians in the room? Maybe you played in band or sing or played some instrument. Or you picture yourself on a stage as a rock and roll musician. Whatever. Musicians know what it's like to rehearse. Rehearsal is not all that fun, is it? You know why? Because you're going over and over and over and over. Sometimes problem spots. Sometimes spots that bass player just doesn't get. Sometimes the drummer is just not there. Or if you're singing, sometimes that note can't find it anywhere. Rehearsal is not all that fun, yet rehearsal is necessary. It is absolutely necessary. Just like that, the Message version says, I rehearse everything I know of you, Lord. Sometimes it flows, sometimes it gets stuck in my throat. But it will never become real until I get it up and out of my life. I actually turn back the clock and I revisit the past. Did you know that God's fingerprints are all over your life? Did you know that? You ever looked in the mirror and like have this conversation with God and you in the same moment? I know I am so weird. I get that. But sometimes I look in the mirror and I see my reflection and I have this conversation with God who is not just listening. He's really close. And I just keep calling attention to what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, but what I know is true. what I know is true. I revisit the past. I can trace his faithfulness. How many of you can say the same thing? I can trace his faithfulness. I can trace his presence in my life. I can trace back and see his provision for me, his purposes for my life. He has been there all the time. Wasn't that an Andre Crouch song years ago? He's been there all the time. Or Donnie McKirkin or somebody like that. Somebody like that. Back in the late 60s, early 70s. So go figure. He has been there all the time with you. You can trace it. And he's proven that he was faithful. Now, not only was he faithful, he is faithful today. Can I get a witness to that? Oh, yeah, we can look back and go, yeah, God, I don't know how you did it, but you came through. Guess what? He's doing the same thing now, in your life now. You may not see the evidence. You may not see the result, but he is at work because he's faithful. He's faithful. And I got good news for you. His past, his present is going to be his future for you. He has been, he is, and he will be faithful. He has promised his help, and he always comes through. I want to ask you a question. Do you ever, like, associate your emotional health, your mental health, your spiritual health, and your physical health all at once? Do you think they're separate somehow? Well, I want to tell you something. In the last few years, the Lord's kind of connected a bunch of dots for me. I'm slow. I'm weak-minded. I know that. It takes me a long time to get stuff. My wife would tell you, 43 years worth. It takes me a long time to get stuff. But I will tell you this. As God began to connect these dots, he created us with emotions. That was his idea, not yours. He created your mental capacity. He created a spiritual hunger and void without him in your spiritual life. And he created your body. And what he wants for all four of those areas are not to separate those things, but to allow God to both work and heal and touch and connect all of those things at once. You ever try to just work out? And you're like, man, right now I'm just going to work on my physical health. That's the only focus I'm going to do. Well, you know, when I do that, amazingly enough, my emotional health gets a little bit better. My thoughts get a little bit more clear. In fact, I actually find the opportunity and the freedom to dump a lot of negative stuff when I'm working out. You know why? Because all that stuff connects. God connected it all. Stop trying to separate it all and go, oh, I'm just going to do this, or I'm just going to work on my spiritual life and everything else will take care of itself. Wait a minute. He made you physically too, mentally and emotionally dependent on him. All of those things are in desperate need of attention. And they're really, when you're healthiest, all four of those areas are moving at the same rate. I know I'm late to the game. You're like, Clay, I've known that my whole life. Just the last few years, that all came clear to me. And it's been so helpful to realize that God has a plan for the way he created you. Not just what you need to do with your life, but what you think and how you feel and what you do with your body. All that matters to God. It all does. Because all of that will remind you how much you need him, which can lift off of you this burden that sometimes, at the worst, can become like depression. Are you down? You don't need to be honest to me, but I'd love for you to be honest to me, to yourself. Are you down? Do you have people in your life that may be worried about you? Maybe you have people in your life you're worried about because you see they're down and they're just not coming out of it. What kind of questions are you hearing? Are you hearing investments are low? Maybe yours are. Maybe the other day when the stock market hit 800 some odd points, you're like, good for them, not mine. Your investments are low. Your health is failing. Got a bad report from your doctor, you're not sure what's ahead. Family is falling apart. Marriage may be on the rocks. You have a grandchild that may be straying far from God. My job, your job, if you had one, is being eliminated. No money to fix your car. Any of that sound familiar? Pretty much had most of those things throughout my life. And my guess is you do too. You ever come to church just to quiet the raging storm of doubt or depression? You're in extremely good company. Extremely good company. Even the psalmist had the exact same experience. And most of us, when we're honest, we know what that feels like. But the psalmist, hopefully just like you today, can discover a life-changing, powerful expression of hope that is accompanied by God's help in time of trouble. You see, the psalmist turned his eyes to the mountain of God. He lifted them up and away from everything that was saying no to his spirit. Consciously trusting the God who had done it before and believing he's going to do it again. Worship is the greatest way that I ever discovered, kind of by accident, to defeat depression. Worship. I know you're thinking, Clay, I get depressed on Monday through Saturday. I got to wait till Sunday. No, you don't. No, you don't. But Jordan's not here. He's not in my living room. He's not in my car. Dan's not here to tell me all the good things. Worship's available to you anytime, anywhere, for any reason. Any moment of your life, you can worship. What is worship? It is praising him for who he is, not simply for all he's done. If you're struggling, really struggling, to remember everything God has done, know this. He is closer than your breath. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And whether or not you feel him or not, he's leaning toward you. And he is calling your name. He knows your name. He's calling your name. You know, Jesus called his heavenly Father from the cross, Abba. That is interpreted daddy. Now, for some of us, daddy is not good. Some of us hear that word and go, no thanks. Not comfortable with that? I get it. But the Heavenly Father is unlike any daddy you've ever known. Even the best one on earth doesn't hold a candle to the Heavenly Father. He's perfect. In fact, we sang it from Chris Tomlin for a lot of years. He's a good, good father. Let me change that. He's the good, good father. He's the good, good father. And he's always good, always has been good, is good, and will be good in your life. Worship is your opportunity from your heart. In whatever moment you need it the most, you just begin to say, God, I know who you are. I love who you are. I praise you for who you are. I think you are amazing. I think you are awesome. You don't have to use Old Testament language. Just tell him who he is. And in those moments, I promise you this, God surrounds the praises of his people. You belong to him, he will rush to your spirit and you will experience the power of His presence unlike anything else. Don't wait till Sunday. In fact, if you will begin to worship Monday through Saturday, when you show up on Sunday morning, you don't need them. And they're awesome. You're wondering, hey, why don't we start? I'm already there. They can't start what God starts. They're just trying to catch up, aren't you? Just trying to catch up. God is at work and He's calling your name all through the day. And His perfect name is Daddy. I remember when my youngest son, who Lori and I just this morning put on an airplane. We've been to KCI early this morning. He was home for 13 days. Man, oh man, we love being with him. He doesn't get home very much. He lives in New York City. And man, oh man, it was just great. And probably the only reason we didn't all sob this time when he left is he's going to be back in October, which is great. That's the shortest duration we probably have ever had in 7 years since he's lived there. But I remember when he was about 3 years old. I, like most dads, many dads, had a terrible habit. I guarantee you it was a terrible habit. Didn't even know how bad it was until this one day. Little Austin looked up at me and he wanted something. I have no idea what it was. I can't remember what it was. It doesn't even matter. But he said, and I said, no, wasn't important. I guarantee you it wasn't important. It wasn't life or death, you know. He wasn't asking to drink Clorox or something. It was just, he just wanted something. And I said, no. And he looked up to me with his little eyes and his long, curly, blonde hair. We didn't cut for a long time. It was beautiful. And he said, say yes, you may, Daddy. Say yes, you may. You always say no. Say yes, you may. It devastated me. And I realized that all the things I've said no to my children, most of them didn't even matter. Why not? You see, some of us look at God, the Heavenly Father, and we think, man, all He does is say no to me. Pages of Scripture, I read them. Sometimes I hear people preach, and I think God's saying no to everything I like, everything I think is really good for me. Let me tell you, every one of us need peace, right? Every one of us need love. Every one of us need joy. We want it. We need it. We need forgiveness. How many of you want forgiveness from God? He didn't say no to any of those things. He says, yes. Your Heavenly Father looks at you and says, yes. Yes to your peace. Yes to your joy. Yes to your love. Yes to your hope. Yes to your forgiveness. And the only things you read Scripture this way, I tell you, it will literally change your life. The only things He says no to you about are the things that steal your hope, steal your peace, take your joy, and remove your love. The kind of love that knows no end. That's what He says no to. He says yes to all that you need. Here's my question for you. If He's saying yes to you, what are you saying to Him? Would you close your eyes just right where you are? This is just a moment between you and your God, who loved you with His life, who forgave you of every sin with the blood of His own Son, and is saying yes by name to you. Are you willing to say yes to Him? He won't abuse you. He won't use you. He won't do one thing that steals your joy or your peace or your hope or your love or your forgiveness. No, in fact, he's giving all of those to you right now if you would simply say yes to him. Maybe you, like me, have said yes before to God. And what you said yes to somehow, slowly but surely, became a no. You ready to say yes to God again? Today's your perfect moment. Father, would you help us? Would you help us both be honest to look at all the times and opportunities we keep saying no to you? And this morning, stop where we are, look at you and say, yes, Abba. Yes, Heavenly Father. You're the perfect daddy for us. And we want to say yes to you. Father, for everyone who one more time just said yes to you, I pray that you would surround that response with strength, with courage, with new hope, and you would give them assurance that what you've done, how you've done it in the past, you are ready and able and willing to do it all again now. Father, thank you for the moment we get to look at you and say, you are, Lord, you are enough for me. Lord, we lift up your name. God, we pray that you would remind us to worship you everywhere, anywhere, all the time, by simply praising you for who you are. Surround our lack of hope, our lack of joy, our lack of feeling loved with the powerful promise of God. We love you, Father. Here's our life. You use it however you want to. We trust you. We pray all of that in the strong name of Jesus. And everybody together said, amen. Amen.
Just sing this with me again. Stand to your feet.
Remember how our God has never failed, never failed us. Remember that his name will make a way, he'll make a way. From the cross to the grave, he is risen and he reigns. Praise the Lord and see his praise again. Oh, my. Praise again. Oh, sing his praise again. Oh, sing his praise again. Oh, sing his praise again.
Sometimes you just have to preach to your soul. Some days you just got to get up, and your soul ain't going there. It didn't want, there's nothing in you wants to get there. And sometimes you just got to remind you. I love the word Clay said, remind yourself who God is. Not where you are emotionally right now, remind him who he is, and say, I will trust you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you, Clay, for that strong word.